This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين. He swore by the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's going to mislead every single individual. So in order for us to prevent ourselves from falling victim in the traps of the shaitan, we need to know كيف يشتغل, right? How does the shaitan operate? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he speaks about this في كتاب الطب أو طب القلوب, where he talks about طرق الشيطان في إغواء الإنسان, the way the shaitan operates in order to mislead the insan, the human being. الطريقة الأولى, the first طريقة, يقول لك أكفر فلو فعلتها ارتاح باله. Brothers and my sisters, the shaitan attempts to make us disbelievers. يقول لك أكفر, disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that could be intellectually, my brothers and my sisters. This is what tends to happen today, right? You find a lot of these individuals who are aqlaniyun, so-called people of intellect, who when they try to look in the nusus, the textual evidences, it became or it appeared to them that the sharia doesn't make sense. So he comes to certain practices of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, هَذَا لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ, this doesn't make sense. وَهَذَا دِينُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Can you see what the shaitan has maybe made him do? And sometimes it could be, my brothers and my sisters, that the shaitan يُزَيِّنُ لَهُ, beautifies for him an act of shirk. My brothers and my sisters, by Allah, last Hajj, I was just minding my own business, looking after the hujjaj that I was with. A man came up to me who knew the seven qira'at. يَعْرِفُ الْقِرَاءَةُ السَّبْعُ, seven qira'at. He's a master في كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى. And then there was a discussion going on and on and on and on. I said to him, Sheikh, نَحْنُ فِي الْحَجِّ, we don't want to go into disputes, we don't want to argue, we don't want to quarrel. You inshallah ta'ala concentrate on teaching the people what is most beneficial for them in this Hajj. We want the people to go back and they have inshallah ta'ala received the maximum reward. And do not enter us into issues of controversy. لا تدخلنا في أمور تثير الجدل. Because there's a lot of hujjaj with me. People want to benefit. A lot of these hujjaj will come. They are very uneducated. They don't know the basics of the deen. So this is a wonderful opportunity now for me to teach them. At-tawheed, كيف يصلون, كيف يتوضعون, how they pray, how they make wudu, how to perform hajj most importantly likewise. So when I said to him, لا تدخلنا في أمور التي تثير الجدل, don't, you know, cause us to indulge on things that cause controversy. He said, what do you mean by that? I was like, Sheikh, it would be a serious problem if somebody went in front of everybody on the mic and started saying you have to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave and you have to make dua to them or to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these were the things that I heard. Because he was going to be with one of the groups, that's not with our group, but they are traveling together, that apparently he believes these kind of things. Like in ana ma alqaytu لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ بَالَى. I didn't give him much concern because I was busy with the people. The man got so angry. This is a man who's meant to know الْقِرَاءَةُ السَّبْعُ. Became very, very upset and said to me, كَيْفْ تَدَّعِي أَنَّكَ مِنْ آلِ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Because where, you know, our lineage goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then you belittle the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying you don't go and make dua to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ana khultu lahu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala li idha sa'alta fas'alillah. If you ask, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. The dua is a ibadah itself. Just like the salah ibadah, right? كما أن الصلاة عبادة. You wouldn't take the salat and give it to somebody else. Likewise, you don't take the dua and give it to somebody else. You only give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فلماذا أنا أصرف هذه العبادة الجليلة إلى غير الله عز وجل؟ فغضب. Because أنتم تحقرون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنتم لا تعطون حق. Guys, belittle the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. You're not giving his right. عجب العجاب. Point of the matter in all of this is, my brothers and my sisters, في بعض الأحيان تجد that the shaytan tries to beautify for somebody an act of shirk, an act of kufr. And that is the biggest trap of the shaytan. If one falls into that, ارتاح. He's relaxed. Because he's now made you fall into the most serious sin. Everything else is sahal to him. الطريقة الثانية, ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, he then mentions the second trap. He said, فإذا سلمت من ذلك, if one manages to save himself, he escapes from this plot of the shaytan. فإذا سلمت من الأولى فإنه يزين لك بدعة من عمل أو قول فتظن أنك على حق وتنسى أن كل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. If you escape from this plot of the shaytan, my brothers and my sisters, the shaytan tries to beautify for you innovation. Do we not hear every single week on the minbar, وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. صح. The worst of the affairs that one can fall into after الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى أو الكفر is innovation. Where a person, he works so hard, but because this doesn't go in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, it will be rejected from him. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌ. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌ. Whoever does an action or he comes with a newly invented matter that does not go in accordance to our religion, it will be rejected from him. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوَ عَمَلِهِ فَرَأَهُ حَسَنًا. Isn't it now that the actions have been beautified for him and he believes it to be what? Wonderfully and great. But inshallah ta'ala, when we move on to the next line of poetry, I'll elaborate on the issue of innovation a bit more. So if the shaytan doesn't succeed in making somebody a disbeliever or a polytheist, he tries to make him commit an innovation. And that's the worst of the affairs that one can fall into. Why is it one of the worst of the affairs that a person can fall into? Why is it more problematic than major sins? Can anybody tell me? Huh? Naam, Jameel. The reason why, my brothers and my sisters, and this is something that Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala and also Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, they both mentioned. They say, al-bid'atu ahabbu ila iblis min al-ma'asi. Bid'ah is more beloved to iblis than sinning. Leesh. Because when you see that brother or that sister who has a boyfriend or the brother who has a girlfriend and you advise him, وَأَنْتَ تَنْصَحُهُ, he says to you, أَخِي وَاللَّهِ أُدْعُوا لِي, make dua for me. Inshallah ta'ala, and I'm going to leave this. أَنَا سَأَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, I will make tawbah. He knows what he's doing is wrong. وَيَعْرِفُ ذَلِكَ. But the guy who's doing the innovation, هو يعتقد أنه إيش؟ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِهَذَا الْفِعْلِ. He believes that he's actually getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what he's doing. So he's not going to make tawbah. He goes, "What? I'm getting closer. I'm doing something great." الطريقة الثالثة. فإذا سلمت من الأولى والثانية انتقل إلى الثالثة وهي عمل كبيرة من الكبائر حتى يجعلك تذنب. If you manage to escape, my brothers and my sisters, from the first trap and also the second trap, he moves on to the third step. And that is pushing you towards falling into a major sin. So that you fall into the sin. But you find, my brothers and my sisters, one now makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Yaghfiru laka Allahu kama qala ahlul ilm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, whatever sin it might be. You know, my brothers and my sisters, something that is universal, that every single individual falls into. You can be the biggest sheikh in the world, the biggest alim in the world, لا بد أن يقع في خطأ. إن بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. As the Messenger of Allah عليه وسلم said, every son of Adam, he is not just a خاطئ. هناك فرق بين خاطئ وخطاء. خطاء على صيغة المبالغة، على وزن فعال. أي somebody who excessively all the time دائما يقع في خطأ. بخلاف من كان إيش؟ خاطئ. It might be that he fell into it this one time. But Bani Adam is somebody who constantly makes mistake. This is why sometimes, you know, us Arabs, huh? When we see somebody who fell into a lie, we call him straight away kadhab. Hada dhulm. Because kadhab is somebody who excessively lies. He just lied one time. Huh? Mubasharatan. Nakul kadhab hada. أخي كذب مرة واحدة سوي سي كاذب فهكذا هنا أيضا. Here you find the same thing. خطاء, somebody who excessively makes mistakes. But my brothers and my sisters, this is where it comes the difference. وخير الخطائين التوابون. The best of those who sin are those who constantly run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's always a win-win situation when you run back. And no matter how many times you fall into that major sin, you should carry on making tawbah as long as you're not doing tala'ub, playing around with the tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you come with the three conditions of being regretful and stopping whatever you are doing at that time. You can't be doing zina while at the same time taqul astaghfirullah, or you're stabbing somebody and aqul astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. La, labud. You have to stop. And you also are regretful and remorseful of what you have committed. Tanda mumin. And then the third condition, my brothers and my sisters, is that you make the decision that you don't go back to it. There and then. But if it happens again, وَلَوْ أَلْفَ مَرَّةً كَمَا قَالَ إِمَامُ النَّوِي رَحِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in his explanation of Sahih Muslim. Even if it is 1,000 times, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And if Allah Azza wa Jal sees you trying all the time, He's going to forgive you. And He's going to help you get rid of that sin. الطريقة الرابعة, the fourth plot of the shaytan. فإذا سلمت من الطرق السابقة جاء لك بصغيرة تكون معك كل الوقت ومعظمه حتى تنقص من حسناتك وعلو درجاتك في الجنة مع الصديقين والشهداء. وإن شاء الله بالتوبة تغفر لك الصغائر.
If you manage to escape, my brothers and my sisters, from all of these traps of the shaitan, then the next step that the shaitan uses is by making you fall into a saghira, a minor sin. Something that stays with you all the time. Look how evil this shaitan is. He wasn't able to make you fall into the previous things that we just mentioned. He so badly wants to misguide you. What does he do? He throws this saghira at you, this minor sin, just so you don't end up having a high status in al-Jannah. And you miss out on the virtue of being with who? As-siddiqeen wa shuhada'i wa salihin. The martyrs and the nabiyyin and so on and so forth. And those who are truthful. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. الطريقة الخامسة فإذا تبت من كل ذلك فأنت تعتبر الآن في المراتب العالية. If you make tawbah from all of that which has been mentioned, you are now considered to be a big shot. You are now considered to be somebody who has a very respectful position with the shaytan. في المراتب العالية, in the very high
statuses عند إبليس. فيأتي لك بطريقة خامسة وهي أن يشغلك بالأقل أجرا من الأعلى، فيجعل همك مثلا على إماطة الأذى بالرغم أنها من الإيمان، إلا أنها ليست الأعلى أجرا وهكذا.
So the next step, my brothers and my sisters, if you manage to get away from the traps of the shaitan and all of that which we have mentioned, he now moves on to the next step. Okay? And that is to busy you with that which has less reward. You know, my brothers and my sisters, as we are all aware, that the good deeds, they differ with regards to its reward. Some are sometimes more important than others at times. I'll give you guys an example. Salatul Jama'ah. Salatul Jama'ah is a very important ibadah. The shaitan, tries to overwhelm you by telling you, Akhi, you know, your parents, go and do birrul walidain. Yes, birrul walidain is very, very important, being dutiful to your parents. But if we have, فَإِن تَزَاحَمْ عَدَدُ الْمَصَالِحِ يُقَدَّمُ الْأَعْلَى مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ. As Imam al-Sa'di mentioned in his Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, sometimes you are in a predicament where you have a bunch of good acts that are clashing with one another, and you have to go for one. If you're able to combine them, great. But if you have to go for one over the other, you have to go with that which is most important. The time of Jama'ah kicked in. This is the call to answer the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and stand in front of Him. مَا وَجَدْتَ إِلَى هَذَا الْوَقْتِ. To go and do something great to your parents. So the shaitan says to you, أخي وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship your Lord and stay away from shirk and be good to your parents. So I'm going to go and be good to my parents. I'm still doing something good. لا يا أخي. You have now busied yourself with that which is less ajr. And what you need to do is go and answer that invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the salah in the masjid. كما جاء في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتاه رجل أعمى. A blind man came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال له يا رسول الله ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد. I don't have a قائد. Somebody that can take me to the masjid. He's blind. فرخص له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gave him permission. خلاص, you don't need to attend the jama'ah. فلما ولى دعاه. When he was about to leave, he called him back again. He said, هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة؟ قال نعم. قال فأجب. Can you hear the adhan? He said yes. He told the blind man, ابن أمي مكتوم, to go and answer what? The call of salah. الطريقة السادسة والأخيرة. The last trap of the shaytan. فإذا سلمت من كل ذلك استخدم أصعب وأقوى أساليبه التي لم يسلم منها الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام, وهي تسليط الأهل والأقربون ومن حولك من الناس لشتمك وإهانتك وإذائك. If you manage to save yourself and escape from all of these traps of the shaitan uses, my brothers and my sisters, a trap. And these are from the greatest of traps that he has, and ways in order to try and mislead that individual and busy him from that which is best for him. You know what he does, my brothers and my sisters? He tries to come through your family members, لِشَتْمِكَ, in order to insult you, وَإِهَانَتِكَ, and also to humiliate you, وَإِذَائِكَ, and also to harm you. My brothers and my sisters, throughout my years of studying, I've seen those brothers who were trying the best, who were trying the utmost best. And you can see that the shaitan would be terrified of these kind of people. Why? Because when you study and you're very, very serious in seeking knowledge, you are now plotting against the shaitan. What does the shaitan want to do? He wishes that everybody becomes misguided. كما حلف فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين. He swore by Allah that he's going to try and mislead every single individual. So he doesn't necessarily care whether you fall into shubahat, into doubts, or shahawat, temptations. And this brother is learning day and night how to save himself, and also who? How to save others as well. So he might come through his wife. His wife is back home and he's in Medina. She's on the phone going crazy. He meets her, it's like no problem happened. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this. He said, أَوَّلُ تَلْبِيسُ إِبْلِيسُ هُوَ صَدُّهُمْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. The first deception of Iblis was what? To block them from knowledge, because the ilm is nur. فَإِذَا أَطْفَأَ مَصَابِيحَهُمْ خَبَّطَهُمْ فِي الظُّلَمِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. This ilm is what is going to destroy the plots and the plans of the shaitan. If he was to now extinguish the light of ilm, people are going to be dropping back and forth in the darkness, right? So he comes after these people really badly. And I've seen it happen to so many brothers. Whether it might come from their parents for no valid reason are telling him to come back. Huh? Whether it comes through the wife, whether it comes now through the kids, whether the moment he comes back, you find that his family members are giving him a hard time. He's trying to give them da'wah, they're not accepting the da'wah, so the shaitan then plays mind games with him. What's the point of you studying? Nobody is accepting anything from you. هكذا الشيطان. So فهل عرفت مرتبتك عند إبليس? Do you know now where you stand with Iblis? So this helps you understand which level I'm at with him. Am I winning against him? Or am I failing really badly? Am I in the first step, in the fringes of the first trap and also the second trap? And also you have to understand, my brothers and my sisters, if you are of the last category that I mentioned, the shaitan will try his utmost best to make you go up the ladder by going through the fifth trap and then the fourth and then the third and then the second. And but he's already managed to get you into the first one. يرتاحوا. Then he goes on to say, فهم الذين أخلصوا في مشيهم متشرعين بشرعة الإيمان. He mentions two characteristics of these people who have treaded the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. That they come with al-ikhlas in their journey. And they also, my brothers and my sisters, تشرعوا بشرعة الإيمان. When they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was in accordance to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because my brothers and my sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. As Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala, the great tabi'i, commented, what is أحسن عملا? He said, أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ. That which is sincere in the acts that you come with. And also, it is the most correct. In the sense where that action that you are doing, it has to be in accordance to what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did or whatever he said. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. My brothers and my sisters, our religion is not awatif. It is not emotion. I can sit here with a banner. I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything if you don't come with what you should be coming with. There is a verse in Surah Ali Imran that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala called Ayatul Mihna. The verse of examination. What is this verse? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad, if they really, really love Allah Azza wa Jal, then tell them to follow you. فَاتَّبِعُونِ, follow me. واضح, my brothers and my sisters. So Hassan al-Basri, the great tabi'i, he commented on this and he said, زَعَمُوا أَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذِي الْآيَةِ. Some people claimed that they love Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, so he tested them with this verse. I can sit here all day long. أنا أحب وأحب وأحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. But wallahi, it's kalam farig. If you're not actually doing what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told you to do, or doing the things he actually told you to stay away from. My brothers and my sisters, I'll move on to the issue of ikhlas in a moment. There is a qa'idah that the scholars teach us. وَلَيْسَ مَشْرُوعًا مِنَ الْأُمُورِ غَيْرَ الَّذِي فِي شَرْعِنَا مَذْكُورٍ كَمَا قَالِ إِمَامُ السِّعْدِ إِنِّيسِ قَوَاعِدِ الْفِقْهِيَةِ. Where was this taken? This was directly taken from how the companions, they conducted themselves. I'm going to mention to you guys what Umar said and also what his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma both mentioned. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood in front of the black stone. He said to the black stone, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ حَجَرٌ لَا تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ وَلَوْ لَأَنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى يُقَبِّلُكَ مَا قَبَّلْتُكَ. I know that you are a stone that doesn't bring benefit and doesn't bring harm. Had I not seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, I would not have kissed you. What is he trying to teach us? That if I see the Messenger not doing something, I'm going to do it. If I didn't see him doing something, I'm not going to do it. Some of you guys may have seen this video that I put on Instagram. People are going to Maqam Ibrahim. They are kissing it. They're rubbing themselves on it. They get, and they're doing this. And they take it home. That's a sad reality, my brothers. I tell the Hujjaj when I take them every year, brothers and sisters, their uncles and aunties, the asal, the default, the origin of what you see the people doing, don't do it. حتى إيش يتبين لك, until it becomes clear to you what should be done is كذا وكذا. Because there is so much innovation taking place in and around the Kaaba. Things that people should not be doing. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, my brothers and my sisters, he was asked about siyami yawmi arafata bi'arafah. What is the reward of the person who fasts on the day of Arafah? Over here. Jameel, yukaffiru sanata al-madiyata wal-baqiyah. For fasting on the day of Arafah, if you are not a haji. But if you are in Arafah as a Hajj, you're wearing your ihram. He was asked, can a person fast on that day? He said, and look what he tried to teach the people, a manhaj, a methodology in how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is this hadith, my brother, that we should all write down. And really, you know, in a nice way, sometimes bring it to the people. And you find that really demolishes any doubt that is brought forth with regards to the practices that people do that is not part of the religion. He said, حَجَجْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَلَمْ يَصُمُ. I done hajj with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and he didn't fast. وَحَجَجْتُ مَعَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ فَلَمْ يَصُمْهُ. And I done hajj with Abu Bakr and he didn't fast. وَحَجَجْتُ مَعَ عُمَرَ فَلَمْ يَصُمْهُ. And I done hajj with Umar and he didn't fast. وَحَجَجْتُ مَعَ عُثْمَانَ فَلَمْ يَصُمْهُ. And I done hajj with Uthman and he didn't fast. فَأَنَا لَأَصُومُ. And I'm not going to be fasting as well. Every practice that arises, my brothers and my sisters, in the public, the first question we should be asking us, ourselves, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam do it? And if he didn't do it, did the companions do it? And then it should determine whether we should go and do the act. Wallahi al-azim. If the people place this hadith, this narration, in between their eyes, there wouldn't be innovation today. There really wouldn't. Do you really think that the companions, لو كان خيرا لسبقونا إليه, if there was any khair in something, they would rush towards it, that they forgot to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? You see, and as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every newly invented practice is an innovation. We hear that every week on the minbar. But some brothers, they come along sometimes and they say, but some scholars, they mention there's a bid'ah hasana and a bid'ah sayya. There's a bad bid'ah and there's a good bid'ah. Tayyib, who shall we listen to? Should we listen to my sheikh, your sheikh, abuya ana, ummi? Should we listen to my mom? Why shouldn't we listen to your mom? My brothers and my sisters, what makes you a person who follows the way of the Salaf is that anytime something arises, you look at the Salaf. It is their understanding, not my understanding. Not so-and-so's understanding. Not my friend who's in the UK, his understanding. Or my sheikh, or his sheikh, or your sheikh. La. It is the understanding of who? The likes of Abu Hurairah, Abdullah ibn Umar, the Khulafa al-Rashidin. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he came to that hadith and he said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَإِنْ رَآهَا النَّاسُ حَسَنَةٍ. Every newly invented practice is an innovation, even if the people they see it to be good. Even if the people see it to be good. Even Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, كُلُّ عِبَادَةٍ لَمْ يَتَعَبَّدْ بِهَا أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَلَا تَتَعَبَّدُوا بِهَا. Every single ibadah that the companions did not worship Allah Azza wa Jal with, then you don't go and worship Allah Azza wa Jal with it. هذا فهم السلف. These are the companions. People that we should be taking as our understanding. So any teacher that comes to you guys, my brothers and my sisters, he should always be teaching you قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ. And then also upon the understanding of who? This is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Nuniyah. Al-ilmu qala Allahu qala Rasulu qala as-sahabatu la li tamwihi ma al-ilmu nasbuka lil khilafi safahatan bayna rasuli wa bayna ra'yi faqihi. That's what real ilm is. Not what my uncle said to me or what my sheikh, you know, thought of. It's not, ليس هكذا.